Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Funny, out of all the experts, when Shefty and Mort and all these NFL Network guys are all on the bandwagon that they think, hey, it's really, really possible that Deshaun Watson gets traded. We were just taking a bunch of more calls. It was Doug Kazarian that I heard for the first time say to us 2-3 weeks ago that if he was setting, and I think he surprised you, that if he was setting the odds, if he was handicapping it, he would say that Deshaun's going to get traded.
Yeah, it's hard to envision a scenario just when you're starting to discuss it where a team would be stupid enough to take an established young star quality quarterback and trade him when it's the most difficult position to find a difference maker at in all of sports.
Yeah, so Doug not only sees the games and sees the lines, he could see the big picture as well.
He sees the light.
He sees a light. That's why he's awesome. He's in Vegas. You see him on ESPN TV. He's got his own podcast as well, and he joins us all football season on Fridays to set up his best bets. What's going on, Doug?
Not much, fellas. Thanks for the introduction. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like hopefully none of us have been in that position, but when we have a good friend who's, you know, got issues with their significant other, you just kind of know how this is going to end. Not well, right? And I don't see how it, you know, they all repair and clear the air and just a giant misunderstanding. So maybe, hopefully for your listeners out there, the Bears can land their quarterback, the next franchise quarterback in Watson. But speaking of franchise quarterbacks, big news with Mahomes, right?
Yeah. Any doubt that I mean, listen, none of us are doctors, but you had to think, even on Monday, that there was a very good chance Mahomes was going to be cleared to play in this game, correct?
Right, and the betting market reflected it. I actually wrote something today, I posted today for ESPN's chalk section. It's Sunday night. Like, while all of us were kind of hanging on the edge, like, Sunday night, the odds makers get three. And they're just like, all right, fire away, bet into this. You know, the uncertainty is there. But I wrote something basically saying odds makers say that it may not even move to 3.5. If it does move, it would only be the 3.5 because 3 is such a key number. We talk about it. The most common margin of victory in NFL history since the extra point moved back in 2015. The 14.4% of NFL games have decided by exactly 3 points. So 3 is such a key number in NFL odds making. And it was already baked into that. And you know what? They moved to 3.5. So obviously that's a big move. Now they get 100% knowledge that Mahomes is playing. And it's, you know, the public was already betting Buffalo +3. So it is interesting that they did move it to 3.5, but it makes sense for sure.
Doug Kazarian joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So the Sharps then are going with the Chiefs. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, look, the public was on the underdog, the Bills. Some Sharps as well think the Bills are a live dog. I think so much of it is the toe injury more than anything with Mahomes. And, you know, the market's kind of settling into place, but sharps are never all on one side, right? Like, it's very rare. There's going to be sharps, like professional bettors, respected money, all that stuff, that's going to be on, you know, both sides of every game. And so where the line moves, the late moves are usually the right moves. And so this is trickling up to 3.5, which is a big move, like we just talked about. The question is, where does it settle on Sunday?
Doug, the total here I see is at 54.5. How do you feel about that? And when you get to a championship game, does your evaluation of what the total will be, do you factor in, like, maybe a coach that's never been in an NFC or an AFC title game, how a team will play? Will they play closer to the vest because there is so much at stake? How do you evaluate where you want to go with the total?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of, like, different schools of thought on that, right? And, I mean, obviously having played Waddle, you know this, it's just really hard to predict. And I always say this. I say, you know, it's not just players that sometimes choke. Coaches and referees sometimes choke as well. We've seen that in all sports across throughout the history of sports. But I think it's important to remember, like, the NFL is the hardest sport to handicap because of you got to just, like, expect the unexpected. The game plans can throw you giant curveballs. And you just, as much as you want to think that something's going to happen, you know, they can just completely zig when the opposing team thinks they're going to zag. And that's the element of surprise, such a large component of handicapping.
So do you have a feel either way, whether this will be a high scoring game?
I would lean under. I think under in both games. I think the Bills are going to try to run the ball more. They didn't have to last week against Baltimore because their defense was playing so well. But I would try to run the ball. I know they like never do it, but that's just a hunch, right? I think you don't want to get into a shootout with Kansas City, with Mahomes. That is obviously Henny would be a different story. So I just think you're going to want to like control the clock, shorten the game, that kind of stuff. Especially when Mahomes does, they do find themselves in like third and longs quite a bit. And if you can just kind of minimize their conversions, you're good.
What is the juiciest bet right now out there for the weekend that you like the most?
So I'm on the NFC game a lot more than I'm on the AFC game. I'm not going to say it's a coin flip game, but with the point spread, it's a really tough call. Like I could see the Bills going into Arrowhead and winning, right? They've covered 9 of 10 or whatever it is. Kansas City's only covered once since like Halloween, but they've also, some of those are backdoor covers. They led the Miami Dolphins 30-10. They led Tampa Bay on the road 17-0 in the first quarter. They're still a juggernaut. Let's not sleep on them. They were winning comfortably against Cleveland before Mahomes got hurt. So they're still a juggernaut. Andy Reid's still great. They're better than last year's team, but the Bills are also really solid. So I'm going to pass on that game. All things considered, but I really like the Packers -3. Now, most shops has moved up to 3.5, but I love this one prop with Brady. So I'm under 38.5 passing attempts. And you're like, well, that's weird. That's like a fantasy bet. So here's the deal. The Packers lead the NFL during the regular season in time of possession. And they have like the second fewest punts. I think it's like 11. Like only the Jets had fewer punts, but the Jets turned the ball over a bunch and also had to go for it on fourth down a lot. So, I mean, just what the Packers did securing the ball, they're top tier, top third in third down conversion. So, like, they just don't give up the ball, right? They've only had 4 quarterbacks throw for 39 or more in a game. Trubisky did it twice because there were such blowouts in both games they had to chuck. Watson did it, again, another blowout. But even the other blowouts were down less than that because the defense, the kryptonite of the Packers defense, is stopping the run. And I know the Bucs know that. They have solid running game. Yes, Brady's sharp. Brady's been there, all that. But with the weather, at least the cold weather, I think they're going to run the ball. I think the Packers, just on offense and the control that Rodgers has at the line of scrimmage, I think he shortens the game. I just think it's kind of like a fewer possessions than you're used to. 39 pass attempts just feels like a lot.
But you think this is a game where the Packers could win this by 6-7 points?
I think it's like a 10-point win. I think like 24-10, 24-13 kind of thing. I just do. Now, if Brady's all world, that's fine. I just don't know if I trust all his weapons in the cold weather, being from Florida. And it's their third straight road playoff game, fifth road game in the last 6 weeks. So at some point, it's going to take its toll. And I don't think the Bucs are that good, right? Like, the offense for New Orleans was doing okay, even with an injured quarterback. And obviously, the turnovers killed them. And then even Taylor Heineke was doing okay. So I just think Rodgers is just in such a zone. When the playoffs started, I didn't see any team going in there and winning besides, like, maybe Seattle. Seattle was, like, the one team because they've been there and Russell Wilson and all that. But I don't see the Bucs going in there and winning. I just don't.
Doug, if you don't have any other football plays, do you have any NBA or UFC 257 plays?
Yeah, so obviously Conor McGregor is a huge favorite, and for good reason, but the number's just getting kind of out of whack. So I'm going to bet Poirier and fully expect to lose. I just think the odds are completely out of whack. Like, he opened about $2. It's now like plus 300 almost. But what you could do, and I think this is kind of creative, let's just say we talk in units, do like one third of a unit that Poirier wins in the third round, and then do one third of a unit in the fourth and fifth. So you have one full unit scattered over 3, 4, and 5 rounds. You're looking at like the math is about 7-1, depending on how you chop it up. And so you get like Poirier to win in rounds 3, 4, or 5. Like, that's pretty good value. It's 7-1 because I think I don't think he's going to win in the first or second round. I just don't. And I don't think it'll go to a decision for him to win. He's 11-1 to win by submission, and all 4 of Connor's losses are via submission. So that could happen, too, if you want to take a flyer on that. So I think there's value on the dog here. I don't want to lay 330. It's just you're not going to get good. I mean, you're already like, is this sub-value to like lay that kind of lumber with Conor McGregor, however great he is?
Any basketball plays?
Well, you know, there's a couple interesting trends going on. First of all, the Nets have gone over 10 straight games, but Kevin Durant's out, and it's a little home-and-home with Cleveland and what they lost the other night. So I wouldn't get involved in there, but I'd keep an eye on those Nets games moving forward. I'm going to be on the Knicks tonight. The Kings are terrible. They have not covered 7 of their last 8. They have the worst defensive rating in the NBA, and it's on pace to be the worst ever in NBA history. They're really bad. Now, the Knicks are the one team I would not play an over with because they lock you down defensively, and they can sometimes have offensive struggles. I'm going to grab the 4 points with the Knicks. But moving forward, maybe the next Kings game, there's been some times on my riding this Kings, like first half overs, especially pronounced. Live betting, if you're into it, like the Clippers third quarter, they have the best, I think, third quarter differential in the NBA. So keep an eye. Maybe if the game's close at halftime with the Thunder and Clips tonight, I'd like the third quarter there. So there's just like opportunities here and there, but I think the only straight wager to begin the game, I'm going to be on the Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers, who by the way are 8-8 in the playoff hunt and can go above 500 with a win tonight.
Oh, and we know what Tibbs does. I mean, we've been there and we know how he values these games. So yeah, it's interesting. You know, the Bulls have been more fun to watch lately. They're playing tonight. May not be a good spot. I think they're a 3-point underdog. But every game, if they are a bigger dog down the road, they've been in every single game they've played down the stretch.
Well, they finally have a real coach, right? Like they have a competent real coach and not some guy who's just kind of like a meathead out there. And I like Portland. It was not a good fit.
Yeah, you're right.
Doug, back to the NFL real quick. Is there a Super Bowl bet out there right now that has your eye, or is there an appealing play that you're already looking at?
You know, all these things center around value, right? Like, it's just tough to find value at this point for the Super Bowl, right? Like, I liked when the playoffs started, the Packers to win the NFC, just because I didn't think anyone would go into Lambeau and win. So, like, I'm invested there, but I just don't know if I can bet, like, the Packers to win at all, because maybe you get value at the chance the Bills win, and then you'll get, like, a better line, right? Like, I do think the Packers are going to win it all. I feel like a good feeling all that. I will say this. You want to talk futures, and it's fun to bet futures and payouts. I did last night, after the Lakers took care of business in Milwaukee, I went and bet LeBron to win MVP at 8-1, and the market's come down a little bit. I just think, look, the other guys in the mix certainly can win it. Like, Luka Doncic is the betting favorite. He's spectacular. I get it. And then, like, Embiid, Durant, Jokic, yes. But I think there's a little buyer's remorse for those those voters who were kind of on the fence and ultimately voted Giannis last year over LeBron and then sort of saw the playoffs play out. I think LeBron has kind of, like, reasserted himself. And I think he's going to get the deference, like the buyer's remorse sort of votes. And it's a shortened season. LeBron has the Lakers, the number one seed, has the best record. And we kind of got reminded of his dominance and the will he imposes on games. And statistically, he's been great. So I think last night was sort of like, I would have made him not the favorite necessarily, but I'd put him like the second favorite. So I think if you can grab 8-1, there's some 7-1s and 9-1s out there. I think LeBron is like, I mean, he hasn't won the MVP in 8 years, which sounds crazy because he's been arguably the best player in the NBA for over a decade. I think there's like legit value on that. I know that you don't normally get value on like the Lakers or LeBron, but I actually think there is right now.
Interesting. That's good thought process. Doug, thanks for everything. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks to preview the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Doug.
Sounds good, buddy. Good fellas, and good luck with landing Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
There you go. Hopefully. We'll continue to talk about it. Yeah.
Take all of our first-round picks until 2049. That's 29 picks. They're yours. Live a little.
Doug Kazarian joining us right there.
You can get prices on DraftKings of potential Super Bowl matchups. And the highest line right now is 3.5. It'd be Kansas City against Tampa. Kansas City would be a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm with Doug. I mean, I like the Packers at this point. I think the Packers have been the most complete team that I've seen all year.
The Packers would be a dog against the Chiefs, and they'd be a favorite against the Bills.
Okay. And one Conor McGregor note on DraftKings, too. You know, we've been advertising that 1 to 257 odds thing. But if you're not a new user and you're just on DraftKings, opt into this. They're giving you Conor McGregor a plus 100. You heard Doug just say that there's no value anymore gambling on Conor McGregor because he's minus 305, I believe he is listed at. If you opt in, all you have to do is opt in, he's at plus 100.
So I can always count on Sylvie to find me a good play on DraftKings. Yeah.
I seek the sales.
I know you do.
Every day, that's one of the first things I do in the morning is see what are the opt-ins.
You look for free money.
There you go.
It's good.
It's a good value right there. Coming up next, Tim Anderson, confident, swaggy. He was on with us yesterday, and this is Can't Miss Stuff next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Hope your Friday's going great. Got some Tim Anderson I want to share that was from later in the show yesterday. He was a surprise guest with us, too. With RBI Baseball 21 coming out. What do we got here?
Ooh, that's the sound of some football chatter right there.
Gentlemen, there's only one coaching job left open. It is the Houston Texans. It is still open, but according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, with all eyes on the Texans head coaching search, the team conducted interviews today with former NFL head coach Jim Caldwell and longtime NFL quarterback Josh McCown.
How about that, Waddle? Joshy football.
All right, so Watson's getting traded, right? He's forcing his way out, right?
I love Josh. Josh is one of my favorite guys in football. Yeah. Does he live in Houston now? No, he lives in Carolina, I think. He coaches his son's football team, I thought.
Wasn't he, though, traded or something? Didn't they release him where he could... Wasn't he sort of with the Texans at
wasn't
the end of the
like
year?
Wasn't he like a COVID quarterback?
Yeah,
like he was going to be an option if everyone went down.
Here's what Pelissero's second tweet says. Josh McCown has strong leadership traits and intends to get into coaching eventually. He's been rumored as a possible NFL head coach during previous stops, but his plan has been to watch his sons play high school football
in the next few years.
And obviously, this would change his plan, though, if he got offered a head coaching job.
I love Josh, and I think Josh will eventually be an outstanding football coach. It's hard to go from the gridiron to the sidelines and go from being a quarterback to a head coach. It's just hard to do that.
Right.
Like
now,
I mean,
Sean, Sean McVay was how young when he took over? Now he coached for many years.
Well, Sean McVay was
Josh McCown played.
Yeah, but like Sean McVay was a coach for years before he became a head coach.
So you believe that they do have to? Most coaches need to.
Yeah, I think anybody needs to go and be part of the apparatus before they become the captain of the ship. They need to go through somewhat of the process, I think. I mean, I think it's...
Can you imagine, like, Cutler's his quarterback's coach, quality control coach?
No chance. Jay won't get out of the deer stand long enough to do that.
If I'm Deshaun Watson, the text goes in today. Trade me. The text goes in right now.
As much as you need.
Why do you guys got to discredit Josh?
It's not about that.
Waddle just said it.
He has not hired yet.
Yeah, that. And also, Jim Caldwell should be a head coach in the league.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he got a raw deal in Detroit.
Yeah, no doubt.
So all of our jokes are directed at Josh McCown, not Jim Caldwell, because he should still be a head coach.
Jim Caldwell got a very bad deal.
Amazing.
Matt Patricia's going back to New England, by the way.
Is he?
Don't need music.
To do what?
Back to the trust tree?
He's going to assist the Patriots coaching staff in a variety of roles.
Well, because right now, his son, Belichick's son, is like co-defensive coordinator, right?
Yes.
And there's a former player that, I forget who it is, one of their accomplished linebackers. Is it Gerard Mayo who is their defensive coordinator as well? I think that there's somebody
who
a good spin as a player who is like that's kind of the natural progression.
Right.
Is that if you want to be a coach, and I think one day Josh could probably be a fantastic coach. Don't you have to go through the process?
Dude, the chaplain's their vice president right now, okay?
Yeah, but that's
not... It's Houston. Houston's different.
Yeah, I know. But they're not the model franchise when it comes to that.
That's who we're talking about here, though, aren't we? Houston?
We're talking about Houston. They may hire... I don't know who they're going to hire. I'm just telling you, I don't think that that's the right path.
For those who don't know, the guy who is the vice president right now and runs the team... is a guy who used to be New England's chaplain. And then he left New England, and he was with Houston, and then he was elevated to vice president of the team.
Yeah, that's so, a weird situation.
It's like, a weird. There are several articles out there. I want to get to this while because we're up against the clock. Tim Anderson joined us yesterday. He's outstanding. He's going to be on the cover of RBI Baseball 21. The White Sox now are one of the favorites in the American League. And the first thing that we asked him, like many football players, you know, aren't happy with their Madden rating. I asked Tim Anderson if he's happy with his RBI 21 rating.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the rankings don't matter. I know how good I am in real life.
How good are you? Hasn't seen you play, yeah, how would you describe your game right now?
Man, I'm unstoppable. Who gonna stop me? You know, I'm a problem. I'm a problem. No, man. I just work at it day in, day out, man. I'm just obsessed with, you know, continue to get better on and off the field. And man, just, you know, just learning myself, learning my swing and understand, you know, knowing what I'm doing in the box or, you know, whatever it is. Just more so having an understanding on it. And you know that once you understand it, you're going to take the confusion out of it. You're going to take the frustration out of it. And then you just be able to have fun with it, regardless of what the results are.
I was going to say, you can hear the excitement level in your voice right now. How excited are you about what has transpired as a team in this offseason and your enthusiasm about what's to come in the 2021 season?
No, definitely, you know, excited. You can see it. You know, it's been talked about for over the past year to finally be able to get to this point. It's definitely, you know, great. But, you know, we remember what Oakland felt like last year. So I think that's enough that should make everybody hungry enough to, you know, continue to go out and try to deliver what, you know, what the ultimate goal is the World Series.
How much contact have you had with your new manager, Tony La Russa?
We had a little contact. You know, we text back and forth. We talk here and there. So, you know, definitely, you know, good contact to, you know, heading into, you know, what we have on the table.
Yeah.
Was there any apprehension when you first heard that he was the manager?
Yeah, I was, you know, it was definitely a little different, you know, because you kind of, you know, once you try something, when you try something new, it's always, you know, always weird. It's always going to, you know, ring a bell. And, you know, I was definitely, you know, Ricky was someone that I had, you know, once I got up, I had already built that chemistry with him. He was there from the beginning. So, you know, that was just normal. So that was my norm. So once you get used to something and then, it's kind of like having something ripped up from under you. It's definitely different. But on the brighter side of things, you know, I'm on the positive side of things that, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, learning from Tony and, you know, I'm open. And, you know, I mean, he's been successful over his career. So, I mean, there's a reason that he's around. So, you know, but I'm definitely looking forward to it and I'm definitely open. And, you know, man, we're going to see what happens.
Tim, is there a different approach from you personally at all? Knowing that now you guys are the hunted, you guys are getting the pub. We mentioned the World Series. That's the goal. Is there a difference as you're not the sneaky Sox anymore?
No, we're going to play everybody just the same. You know, I don't think really nothing changes. Nothing changes. Nothing really changes. The way you approach it is just, you know, we want more wins. I mean, we could have more wins. We're going to go out and continue to play hard, which we already been have, and the wins are going to come. So, I mean, nothing really changes the way that we approach it. I mean, we're going to continue to have fun. We're going to continue to play hard. We're going to continue to have fun and continue to rally around each other. And we're going to continue to be ourselves. I mean, because I think that's real. Well, I know that's real.
Well, Tim, it was a pleasure. Congratulations on being on the cover. And we can't wait. I mean, this is going to be the last time. I don't know if you're aware of this. The last time that ESPN 1000 was the home for the White Sox was 2005, the last time the White Sox won the World Series. So no pressure, okay?
Yeah, we know. All you had to say was 2005, and I already get it.
Thanks, Tim. You're
Thank
the
you,
best.
Tim. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
He's a great guy, great player, great fun to interview, and I love the answer about I'm a problem.
I love the fact that he stays in Chicago.
Yeah, he wants to be a part of the community, cool. Wants to help. He wants to be immersed in the city, know the city in which he plays with. We asked him that. The entire interview is on the ESPN Chicago app. It's the easiest way to get all your shows live and your on-demand podcast, so make sure you download that today. I've got an update on the Josh McCown story from another NFL insider to lead off Waddle's World. It's coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Waddle's World is brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. And Josh McCown's favorite stalker, Mark Silverman, has an update on Joshy and the potential for him being part of a new staff in Houston.
We told you in the last segment that Tom Pelissero was reporting that Jim Caldwell and Josh McCown have interviewed for the Texans head coaching job. We talked about how he has no coaching experience. Mike Garafolo from the NFL Network tweets this, saying the Texans are exploring the idea of Josh McCown as head coach, but would surround him with at least one former head coach on the staff. Again, not as crazy as it might seem to go from a player to head coach. And if anybody can do it, McCown can.
Is that you or is it Garofalo or Garofolo?
Garofolo.
That's interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So who was saying that, if anybody can do it? Was that your edits?
No, that's part of the tweet.
Okay. All right.
And the last line of the tweet is, and if anyone can do it, McCown can.
You think Jim Caldwell wants to go there and not be the head coach and be like the...
Could they be the tandem? Could it be those two? Could they bring in Doug Peterson to be the assistant head coach under Josh McCown as they have a relationship from Philly?
Who else can we bring in so that we can... We can divide this thing up even more.
That's so disrespectful to Jim Caldwell, if that's the idea.
I'm with you. I mean, like, Jim Caldwell is interviewing to be the head coach, not the babysitter.
Well, just reading the tweet.
To Josh.
McCown's going to end up having to play QB because Watson's going to want to be traded. So Caldwell's going to be the head coach anyway.
Josh McCown could help us years later still if he becomes the head coach of the Texans.
My guess is if Josh becomes the head coach, you're probably going to start doing the show from Houston.
Not if Deshaun Watson is here. I love Josh, but I'm not going to Houston.
How much do you love Josh? Do you want to split season tickets?
What was your question, Waddle?
How much do you love Josh?
I always told you that if they stuck with him in 13,
they would have won a Super Bowl or three.
I would have just continued to play the hot hand. That's all it was. I knew what cut he was. All right.
It spurred one of the greatest Waddle and Sylvie parody song entries of all time.
Here it is.
Hey, Josh, glad you came over. Would you like a drink?
What do you want, Sylvie? I really can't play.
Joshy, your stats are great.
It's time to play
Joshy, Jay. Your stats are great.
These five games have
been they'd put
so great
in.
For me.
Can I just hold you close to me?
You know that I'm just second string.
Better than Peyton Manning.
And Jay would be certainly mad.
But Josh, you are making me sad.
I have to be at practice so early.
Josh, you are so handsome and burly.
Which way is it to get to the door?
Can't you stay a little? Bit
you're
more.
Really a drag.
Baby, I love you so.
Dude, what is on that rag?
Just smell it. Now I'm never letting you go.
Poisoning people.
That
would be in the Tournament of Champions.
This
year's winner would, I think, be a favorite, but that one would give it a run for its money.
Just for a point of reference... I think I know I do, so I won't speak for anyone else. Does anybody else appreciate Mike Vrabel as a good coach?
Yeah.
I think Mike Vrabel is a really good coach.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel started as a coach at Ohio State in 2011 when he got done playing. And then he advanced from their linebackers coach to their defensive lines coach. Then he went to Houston for 3 years as a linebackers coach. He became their defensive coordinator in 2017. He's been the head coach at the Tennessee Titans since 2018. my point I'm making is that, like, Mike Vrabel would probably tell you he wasn't equipped to be a head coach when he got into coaching in 2011.
Right.
I just think it's really odd. And not that if Josh wanted to be a head coach and went through the process, I think he'd be a fine head coach.
Do you
it's
know
just
the
odd to think that you would put him in that role without ever being an NFL coach, despite his long career as a quarterback.
A lot of people would maybe counter that by saying he's been coaching for a while as a backup quarterback. But you're right. I get it. You know, the other rise of Brandon Staley's a real good one, too. He wasn't a former NFL player. In 2016, Brandon Staley is coaching at John Carroll College. I believe that's in the Cleveland area in Ohio.
I think so.
So then he joined the Bears in 17 as outside linebackers coach, and now he's the 2021 head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. That's a pretty quick rise, too, isn't
that? Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. No
Especially
doubt about
for a non-former player.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you've played the game or you haven't played the game. I just think to become a coach, boy, I think that there is a certain amount of learning that you have to do from a coaching perspective. But listen, who knows? Houston, as you said earlier, can do some really strange things. Sad news that we learned earlier today. Longtime home run king Hank Aaron has passed away at the age of 86. 755 career home runs was long stood as baseball's golden mark. I'm sure we all have, like, what did he play, 23, 24 years?
He was a 25-time All-Star.
Yes, I have. So he played more than 23 years. I had two prominent posters in my bedroom as a kid, and I was a huge Cincinnati Reds fan. So all of my favorite baseball players were the Reds, and my favorite non-Reds player was always Hank Aaron. I had a poster of Hank Aaron hitting home run number 715 off of Al Downing. And I had Farrah Fawcett. So I had two posters on my wall. I had Farrah over here. I had Hank hitting home run number 715 over here. And by the way, Hank, if you recall, hits 714, I believe, opening day against the Reds at Riverfront Stadium.
Amazing.
So, I mean, like, and there's just, if you go through the list of all the accomplishments of Hank,
I want to read that later. I want to do a segment because he deserves his own segment. And what he went through as a player trying to break the record of Babe Ruth and all the racism out there. We know it still exists today in 2021. And then I like there's a couple of other stats that just were that are crazy to read. Crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour, give tribute to one of the all-time great sports people ever in Hank Aaron.
Patrick Mahomes participated in practice today, and he is good to go. He has cleared concussion protocol.
He has no game designation, so he's
good to go.
Money.
So, but
did we ever find out if he suffered a concussion?
I don't know what is the official. I know he was in concussion protocol and wasn't able to come back.
Right.
Last week.
Like I told you earlier in the week, there's a difference between being in concussion protocol and actually suffering a concussion.
Yeah, I don't know that they said it. I'm not sure. But he's going to be available. So there was no designation with regard to his injured toe, huh?
No, and last night we had Colin Wilson of the Action Network on, and he's been looking at... I compared it to when we were watching Schwarber pick up his glove and put it back down, the way he's been analyzing footage of Watson on the late local news in Kansas City. And from everything... Or not Watson, we're talking about Mahomes.
How he's walking and running
in practice, because they get a little bit of footage. And he said he looks fine.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's not.
I tell you what, they will tell you. That's good to know. Like, if you sprain your big toe, you get turf toe, that can be some of the most painful, debilitating stuff out there. Crazy. There are guys whose careers in the NFL have ended because of chronic turf toe.
Yeah, you just don't know how serious it is until you have it, right?
That's correct.
One of those that you just never know.
The Bucks rule out Antonio Brown for the upcoming NFC title game.
That knee,
he wasn't as close as we'd hoped, so we'll get him ready for the next one, said Bruce Arians. So he is out. Kevin Durant to sit out tonight's game. I guess he's got an itchy and scratchy Achilles. So says Durant was ruled out of tonight's game against the Cavs. Durant played more than 50 minutes in the Nets' double overtime loss to the Cavs.
Remember, I brought that up yesterday.
Don't tell that to Frank Isola or Tom Thibodeau or Jeff Van Gundy.
And they're playing these games quick, too, some of these games. You can't do that with Durant. You just can't. In 50 minutes, I know it was two overtimes, but that's 40 minutes in the rest. If you played every minute of the two overtimes, it's still 40 minutes. Who plays 40 minutes these days as a superstar? You're playing 32 a game, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
And Waddle, he's out for Achilles injury rehab, is what they are calling it. Is that what you said?
No, I didn't.
It's not a it's not barking.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Like it's not re-aggravated. I think it's just based on what you guys are saying. The minutes he played the other night, it would be stupid to then roll back out. So
yes.
That's a silly designation to say, well, we're doing some Achilles rehab. The rehab would insinuate that there is an injury, right?
I think the reason they have to is because the league before the season said you can't just rest players.
Yeah.
You just can't sit guys for rest.
Right.
And it's a Friday night. I don't know. Is the game on national TV?
I don't know.
Because that could probably have some
Friday night.
No,
the feelings
it's
right.
It's local, but still.
Okay.
It's a Friday night, though.
It's Friday's feeling right.
But it's not barking. It's just rehab.
Okay.
Well, that's good, then.
Yeah.
So he's just getting rest.
Yeah. It doesn't bark.
Okay.
A rested dog doesn't bark.
Maybe that was unfounded doctor's evaluation on my behalf.
No,
he's probably barking a little bit.
It just, when you said it, I was like, whoa, wait, he aggravated in that game? And then I looked into it. And
my Achilles is barking from him playing 50 minutes as well.
I know. You guys are anti-minutes guys. I remember. I remember the
Especially coming off of an injury.
You see what Thibodeau did last night?
Yeah.
But that's why
I'm worried about Kazarian's pick tonight, because the Knicks are on a back-to-back, and I'm like, ooh, with Thibodeau, you know they're playing all those minutes.
Barking dogs.
By the way, Sylvie and I were always minutes in context guys.
Right. When you haven't played in 2 years with an Achilles.
You got a barking knee and you're Joakim Noah and I need you to play a big role in the postseason, and you're throwing down 48 minutes in overtime against Charlotte in the final game of the season. I don't know.
See, Steve Nash clearly listened to those shows that you guys were hosting, and Kevin
Durant
is going to rest.
Guys, it's analytics. It's analytics. It's the amount of running that you're doing. It's all of the mileage.
Since all of our bitching, Waddle, they all actually play them less now.
That's exactly right. I think we were ahead of the curve. When we come back, we've got some nonsense and a little something we call Florida or Ohio. This hour brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, how about a little nonsense? You believe in Bigfoot?
Like a hairy beast who wanders the forest? And he's like 8 feet tall. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I didn't say Littlefoot.
Sasquatch,
I said Bigfoot.
No, I don't believe in I believe. I know that aliens exist. I believe in ghosts.
Whoa, you say you know aliens exist.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know?
We're the only ones. Come on, Waddle.
Well, I don't know. I suspect that we're not the only ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Oklahoma City. A bill to establish a Bigfoot hunting season was introduced in Oklahoma this past Wednesday. Representative Justin Humphrey wants Oklahoma Wildlife Commission to establish a Bigfoot hunting season. Humphrey represents a large part of southeastern and south central Oklahoma that is infamous for Bigfoot sightings. They even host a Bigfoot festival every year. This year's activities canceled because of COVID. Quote, the Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation Commission shall promulgate rules establishing a Bigfoot hunting season. The commission shall set annual season dates and create any necessary specific hunting licenses and fees.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that if someone would spot a Bigfoot and it's in the non-hunting season, they wouldn't be able to get him?
Yeah.
No?
Nope.
That's crazy.
Don't believe you're allowed to. So what they've decided is to put together a Bigfoot hunting season. I don't know why. I mean, I would want to catch Bigfoot and talk to him or her.
Right, not shoot him.
Yeah.
You're assuming it speaks English?
Well, I don't know.
But everyone assumes that he's dangerous. Yeah. Why are we assuming that Bigfoot's dangerous?
Maybe
we
haven't heard any. Maybe a puppy dog. Maybe it's as simple and easy.
Just wants to live.
Yeah, but it just wants to chill.
People hunt friendly animals to begin with.
Yeah, but what we know about
that. That's true. That's a good point.
Are deer dangerous? They're not dangerous.
No, I don't know. We know they can't talk.
Yurko would tell you the overpopulation of deer can be dangerous.
But we also know deer can't talk. I don't know that Bigfoot can't talk because I don't know that he can talk.
Right, so we shouldn't assume he can.
So I don't want to shoot him until I figure it out.
No, but you could set a trap and catch him in a net.
Oh, I think they've done that. I think they've tried
nets
that.
From a tree.
I think they've tried
net from a tree. Exactly. Yeah.
Or the net on the ground, and it goes over the tree as the pulley, and then you pull the net.
My point is I
then
want
you
to
have a Bigfoot dangling.
I want a dangling Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I want to interrogate Bigfoot before. I don't want to put him down. I want to interrogate him or her.
Okay.
What?
Do you think there's big feet? If there's a big foot, wouldn't that mean there's big feet? How would a big foot happen without big feet? Do you know what I'm saying?
Are you saying there's more than one, or are you saying the size of the foot is actually large?
I think it's big foots, then. I don't think it's...
Would it be big foot?
Is it a pack, a litter, a gaggle?
What would it be? Like, one can't just exist on its own.
A bunch.
Where's he coming
from? It's a bunch.
Bunch of big feet.
Bunch of big feet.
Look at that bunch of big feet over there.
Yeah. I think there's an OnlyFans for that.
I'm just saying. Like, I want to catch one before you shoot it. Let's not hunt it. Let's hunt it, but we ain't taking no guns. Let's trap it. Don't hunt it. Trap it. I want to talk to it. What do you think it sounds like?
You're just talking to yourself right now.
I'm just saying. Like, I don't believe that Bigfoot exists. I don't. But I may be alone. Okay. You want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
By the way, I've had some venison chili. I'm not sure I'm ready for Bigfoot chili just yet.
Isn't that too close to a human to eat?
I don't know. That's my point. I need to talk to him.
A stew?
Stew. We call it a stew, because Bigfoot, we could name Bigfoot Stew. So then it would be a stew.
Okay.
Don't you want to talk to Bigfoot or see if you can communicate with him?
On my list of things to do, it's probably 1,000.
Do you want to talk to an alien?
Yeah, I think that has more to offer.
Why not a Bigfoot?
Because that's not about life on other planets.
It would be impressive to find out how Bigfoot has managed to escape.
How have you eluded us all these years? I want to know. Sit down in that chair and talk to me.
Camouflage. Naked man driving stolen police car crashes into the woods. A naked man
shoots him and then eats him. And he had a big bowl of stew.
A naked man driving a stolen police cruiser crashed into the woods on Thursday.
I'm cracking myself up.
Joel McLean.
Big bowl of stew.
Joel McLean. stole a police cruiser and crashed it into the woods.
Why is he naked?
Police spotted a naked man on the side of the road. The officer tried to help the man, but he became combative and ran towards the officer's car, jumped into the driver's seat, and drove away. The officer managed to track the car down. He was trying to wrestle the naked man, trying to get him out of the driver's seat, but that's when the man drove away. The officer then backed away because he was at risk of getting injured by the moving car. The naked man was driving erratically and crashed into the woods a few minutes later.
Would you think that a police officer would rather wrestle a naked man in that condition or a clothed man? I would say naked because if the guy's clothed and you don't know what he's got in his pockets, you don't know what he may have, you may be injured by whatever he's got on his person.
I think these guys are crazy, but they're not stupid, so they're not going naked in Ohio in January. I'm going Florida.
I'm going to go to Tampa. He was just getting excited about a Bucks Packers NFC title game.
Give me a panhandle Florida. Give me somewhere in there.
The man was celebrating newly hired Urban Meyer in
Jacksonville.
All right. At first, when I thought Urban Meyer, I was thinking Ohio at first, and this is a perfect Urban Meyer game now. It's always been, I guess, because he was in Florida.
Urban Meyer? Bigfoot? Yeah.
Bigfoots are naked, yeah. Right?
I don't know. Would a bear be naked?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. They're not wearing clothes.
Is a cow naked?
Cows are naked.
Dogs are naked, unless you have a stupid sweater on them. Coming up next, we will get a preview of Tampa and Green Bay with our good buddy Jason Wilde in 2 short minutes.